Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City of Arroyo Grande. This is our council meeting, and it is Tuesday, December 10th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Here.
Councilmember Brown?
Here.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Here.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Here. Item 3 on our agenda is our flag salute, and we're very pleased to have Tom Apkarian here from the Rotary Club of Arroyo Grande to do our flag salute. If you would please remain standing for invocation. Rabbi Linda Bertenthal from Congregation Beth David is here to do that for us this evening.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We who are gathered here this evening are grateful for our abundant blessings, for life itself, for the measure of health we need to fulfill our callings, for sustenance and for friendship. We're grateful to live in freedom, in a society governed by rules allowing all to speak their conscience and requiring our elected representatives to consider the good of all. May all who are gathered here, both elected officials and members of the public, be guided by the spirit of wisdom, by a keen thirst for justice, by insight into the true needs of the community and its members, and by generosity and loving kindness. May all keep forefront in our minds and hearts the humility of knowing that reasonable minds differ and that there is something to be learned from every person. May all seek peace and harmony in this meeting as well as in the life of the community. May there be only discerning decisions made tonight. And let all who believe in these hopes and sentiments say, Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi. We appreciate you being here, and we hope to see you again soon. Good. Okay, Tom, we get to hear about Rotary. What good things are you doing?
Well, this weekend, Sunday, the 15th at 4 o'clock, we're going to have our Christmas sing-along in the Clark Center. It's going to be a Christmas and a holiday sing-along. We usually have a lot of kids. It's been a sold-out show for the last couple years, and we're hoping to get everybody involved in the community. And I'm going to leave some flyers for anybody that's interested and put them at the back table. Thank you very much for having us.
Good. Thank you, Tom. We appreciate all the good work that Rotary does in the community. Look forward to seeing you again. Moving on to item 5, agenda review. 5A is closed session announcements. We have none this evening. 5B, move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
Second.
We have multiple motions and seconds. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Item 6, special presentations. We have none this evening. Item 7 is community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and comment on any item that is not on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any formal action on matters not posted on the agenda. We would ask that you keep your comments brief, 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as one body. Once again, items not on this evening's agenda. Anyone who would like to come forward, this is your opportunity. Okay, no takers. Seeing none, we'll close items. This would be your opportunity.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. I'd like to discuss for clarity a couple things on item 8K, if that's possible, if that could be pulled.
Is it 8K?
8K, yes.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
Do you want to do it now? Or do you want to? I don't know how I want to do this. Basically, I guess Eileen is coming to the desk. It's a clarity of the material within the easement that was up for discussion before. I've met with staff on numerous occasions, and we had a meeting yesterday and a subsequent phone call today, and I think we've come to a conclusion as to what will work for everybody here. Essentially, what I would like is clarity on the location of the gate off of the new cul-de-sac and the material on the surface of the easement. The condition as it was written discussed that it would be a grass pave type material. We'd like to have some options with that, possibly pavers of a different type than that in that for that surface, still leaving the fence between the easement and the private yard area, just a matter of location for the gates that would close the there's the exhibit that would close the easement off for privacy. And if you were to look at that exhibit that we prepared, it shows where a house might be located adjacent to the easement, the low rail fence in the back yard area that would separate the easement from the yard space, and then down below the gates that would actually create privacy for the backyard area would be located up towards the front there, rather than the exhibit that's in your packet shows the low rail fence running clear out to the street and the gates and a gate being out at the street. A low rail fence in the front yard would allow someone to jump that fence and get in these people's backyards. So we're just trying to clarify that.
Okay. I'll tell you what we'll do, Mark. We'll pull item 8K for some clarification from staff, and we'll hear it then.
Okay.
And afterwards, if there's any additional comments that you'd like to make, you can come up and do it then.
All right. Thank you.
Any other public comment on any of the items on consent? Okay, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8J with the understanding that we're going to pull 8K for some further clarification and discussion.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Okay, maybe we can get a quick update on 8K.
Good evening, council members, mayor. So at the last council meeting, staff was directed to come back with an updated revised resolution to reflect the utility easement only between Fortune Court and Ralph Beck cul-de-sac. So in your staff reports, we updated the easement to show a couple different features. One was a fence location here on the Fortuna Court side with landscaping between the court and the fenced area. And with a gate on the southern access point, the easement was to be designed with with some sort of grasscrete or similar material to allow ground cover. And the easement would look something like this, where on the Fortuna side it would have a solid fence of some design that will return to ARC for approval, and some sort of herbaceous shrubbery in this area that's easily removable should it require maintenance. Low rail fence on the interior side of the easement, and I've heard that the property owner for this house here may install a privacy fence as well, but that's not required as part of this motion. And then, as you just heard, Mark Vasquez stepped forward and gave a proposal for more clarification on what potential materials might be in this easement area. So he's talking about pavers or grasscrete in this area. Steve, do you have any more you want to clarify?
Did you mention the split rail fence?
Yes, so the split rail fence or a low rail fence along this interior line would allow
easement is marked, and then as far as the surface, we have recommended the grasscrete because it enables
vehicles to drive on. It provides the subsurface reinforcement to do that. But above, it'll be landscaped area, and so it was our understanding the intent was to try to keep it as natural as possible with landscaping. The developer has requested pavers now. Staff does not object to that, but we have not recommended it because we were trying to keep our recommendations consistent with the past discussion and the way we understood that what we were trying to address was that more natural look. But if if the neighbor would be okay with that and the council wants to go in that direction, it's not something we're opposed to.
Okay. Questions on the staff report?
Go ahead. That slide, if you could put that rendering that you had on the right there. I was unclear about how far back we were going to set the fence. I thought it was going to go back farther towards Miss Scott's home, but maybe I'm incorrect in that.
That's a very good question. I think that typically the front setback would be at least 20 feet for the front yard setback, so it should be at least 20 feet from there. So that, I don't know if that's quite 20 feet in the photo, but that's what the idea was.
Okay, and then the other question I had is we talked about refunding the money for the appeal based on the fact it was something we probably should have caught. Is that part of the resolution? I didn't catch that. Thank you for that. And then lastly, I just want to make a comment, and Jeff, I appreciate your calling me, and I apologize for not getting back to you. Kind of mystified about this idea that it has to be a drivable surface, because if you ever have to dig something up, you're going to be able to get a tractor back there and do whatever you have to do. So I'm probably in the minority on this issue, but it doesn't seem right to me that I understand you need to keep the easement clear. I get that. You don't want structures on there. I get that. But ultimately, you're going to have the equipment to get in there if you have to get in there and 25 years from now and dig something up, you're going to be able to do that. So I'm still a little surprised that there's been so much energy put into drivable surfaces. That's I just want to mention that, because going forward I'm going to ask the same questions when we get other easements, because it just doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any other comments, questions?
Eileen, can you put the graphic back up of that one? Thank you. So the split rail fence is only going to come to, say that's where the footprint of the house is. It's just going to come to the corner of the house. It's not going to be right beside the house, correct?
This house is here just for representation of what it could be.
Right.
When an actual house design comes in, the lot development comes in, then we can adjust the fencing to fit with the development of the house. However, I don't know the question of the timing of the issue, whether we go ahead and put the rail fence in prior to the house, that lot being developed, that's something that's kind of, we can work that out, what you prefer to see happen.
Well, I just think that I think Mark mentioned it. I think that, or someone mentioned it. If the house does come butt right up to the easement, then we don't need a split rail fence all the way down the easement.
Sure. Or we can require some sort of 5-foot setback from that rail fence. It just depends on what you want. But I do imagine that the backyard, that the easement, southern easement fence, would act like a backyard kind of fence and not allow, there wouldn't be a gap in there to allow people to cut through, so to speak.
Right, okay. And then the fence on the front is going to be what type of a fence or what type of a gate?
That design of the fence and the gate, that's something that will go to ARC for recommendation.
Okay. And then I had a question. Should I wait to ask Mark a question? Okay. Mark, can you come back up and ask you a quick question about the pavers? I know what grasscrete looks like because grasscrete is over there on the frontage road where that chain is on those PUDs and the grass sort of grows through a truck can drive on it. But what I know what pavers are, but how much space between the pavers
Well, it depends on the paver that you, the pattern that you pick to put in. But the idea being, if all I'm looking for is options. One of the reasons I'm looking for options is because if one product doesn't want to work there, say...
The issue either way, I think we know what we're trying to accomplish here. If, by chance, we need to access that area, it has to be somewhat of a drivable surface. Whatever configuration we come up with that everybody can agree to is okay with me, as long as that easement is delineated and we've taken steps that people aren't going to build a hardscape or any other kind of barrier on top of it. So that was my main concern. Whatever you can work out is fine. So so given that, Mark, if we approve 8K pretty much as written this evening, with the understanding that there's some additional work with staff that that we can put in place here to make sure we have agreement and concurrence and maybe give you a little more flexibility. Are you okay with that? Okay. Then I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve 8K, adopting the resolution upholding the appeal and approving vesting tentative tract map 13-001 and plan unit development 13-001 with modified conditions of approval to include the additional work with Mr. Vasquez.
Second.
To ensure we come up with something that works for everyone. Is that okay? Does that work?
Sure.
Okay.
We could be very specific or we can keep it loose. That's pretty loose.
All right.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second.
I was going to recommend that we do something like a material acceptable to the community development director, so that we have some, you know, just saying it might not be Mr. Vasquez at all. You know, so that just doesn't seem like a, so I kind of like to put this back that it still is open, but the clear direction from council is to be as open as possible here, but somebody has to make a decision.
I always try to tie these things up as much as we can, which is a different direction. I was going to say, Mr. Vasquez has made a proposal that's okay with staff. We just didn't recommend it because we were trying to keep our recommendations consistent with the concerns of the appellant. I think if we ask the appellant if she's okay with Mr. Vasquez's proposal, we could probably just identify that proposal in the condition. But.
Well, alternatively, we can use that language which provides a maximum flexibility, which is just to eliminate the landscape with low-growing, ground-covering grasscrete, so it would read, the easement shall be covered with a material approved by the community development director, fenced on the interior side, lot one, blah, blah, blah. The rest will stay the same, if that's the type of flexibility you're looking for.
Okay.
Jen,
are you okay with...
I'm good with Mark.
Okay. All right. Then I'll amend the motion to adopt that language. Then second holds.
Yes.
All right. Roll call, please.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to item 9, public hearings. We do have one this evening. 9A is consideration of preliminary approval of the Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, projects for 2014.
Good evening, Mayor and members of Council. I'm here tonight to bring to you the preliminary consideration of the CDBG block grant projects for 2014. A little bit of background. This is a federal grant program that the federal...
Deborah, excuse me, is your mic on?
It is, is it?
Okay. You pull it maybe a little closer.
All right.
Thanks.
It's a federal grant program, and it distributes funding through the cities and counties. The allocation of CDBG funds can be made to a variety of projects as long as they kind of meet the national objectives of benefiting low and moderate income people, aiding in the prevention or elimination of slums and blight, and addressing any urgent community development needs that pose a serious or immediate threat to public health or welfare. This year, the county has estimated that we will have about 10% less than we had last year based on encounter a budget crisis if CDBG funds were withheld. We also look for programs that provide services at the county level where no local facilities exist and the other criteria that you see in front of you. This matrix displays the two requests that we did receive for $25,000. As I mentioned, we only have a little over $8,000 available. And we are recommending that the council allocate all of that money to the Adult Wellness and Prevention Screening Program. This is the balance of the remaining funding in the different categories that are represented here. We are recommending $25,401 for removal of architectural barriers, $15,000 for facade grants, and $8,657 for the administration of the program. So the recommendation in front of you tonight is to provide the preliminary approval for the proposed projects for the 2014 CDBG program. And there are a few alternatives that the council could consider. One is modifying the recommendation for the public services programs to include other public service requests. We have determined that the best use of that would be to allocate the entire amount to one request, one program, but it could be allocated differently. We could eliminate funding for public service requests altogether and reduce some funding for the facade improvements, reallocate those dollars towards barrier removals for our city ADA projects that we have. We could consider using local sales tax revenues to provide funding for the public service requests in lieu of CDBG funding. Or anything else that the council would like to consider. City manager did want to talk a little bit about one of the alternatives for you.
Thank you, Debbie. Yeah, I just wanted to add a little bit about one of these alternatives that we added here. We included it as an alternative because the recommendations are really based upon our past practice, the past categories we've laid out, and the guidelines that we established that we've been using each year. So the recommendations are consistent with really the past methodology we have used in developing the recommendations. But we came up with some other ideas and included it as an alternative. And the more we've thought about it, we'd like to at least urge the City Council to seriously think about the alternative. And it kind of goes hand in hand with a lot of our efforts lately. Amongst staff, we're really focusing on goals in the city and trying to prioritize items and then through a goal-setting process really trying to focus our resources on our priority goals. And ADA improvements has become a much more higher priority for us. In the recent years, we've been making some good progress. Most of the block grant funds we've received in the past have been focused on city facilities, particularly parks and community facilities. The area that we feel now we need to accelerate is ADA ramps throughout the city. We have some local sales tax funding, although limited, that we've been budgeting each year for those projects. But just a couple examples of things that have changed. Federal regulations are changing, so currently any resurfaced or reconstructed street requires all the ramps along that street to be installed or brought up to code. Now the federal government's regulations have changed that to include any street that's being microsurfaced, which is a method of resurfacing that we use pretty frequently. We just completed a study on all our uncontrolled crosswalks to look at safety and other features. Part of that, though, we identify we have a number of those crosswalks that don't have ADA ramps on them, so those would be a high priority to get those in. And then just improving our sidewalks throughout the city, we've identified a number of areas where we have restrictions for ADA access. And so we'd like to, while it's been a priority, we feel we need to accelerate that program and see how we can get as much resources targeted to that program as possible. And so the idea here is maybe for a couple-year period, just really targeting that program, and we could increase the money by, Debbie kind of outlined it briefly, but we have the $25,000 that's recommended for barrier removals, which could be used for ADA ramps. We could cut back on the facade improvements rather than $15,000, just go to $5,000, which would still allow us to do one, move $10,000 over. If we just said for now we were not going to provide public services money, that would be another roughly $8,000. So that brings us to $43,000. We do have $10,000.
Passed, and we have the advisory measures. I don't recall the substance of that.
Mr. Smith, if I could, this was actually my idea, and this is just a basic straight trade-out. The idea here was that because the requirements for HUD are so high in reviewing CDBG funds, it's such a small amount of money that we would actually identify $8,000 in our capital program inside the sales tax fund, and say that we would fund that from here. Essentially, this is where the idea of using the money for ADA came from. We would fund them from here so that we could then fund them essentially out of our general fund where there would be no requirements. So then we could go back to giving small amounts of money to multiple groups, and they wouldn't have to go through jump all the HUD hoops in order to get it. The county did something similar. They basically took a lot of the CBDG money, put it into capital projects, and then funded from their general fund instead of making the requirement for CDBG. So basically, we're just making it easier for the organizations to meet the requirements. Yeah, it doesn't. It would take a specific note, I think, in our report that said exactly what we were doing. It wasn't that we were funding these organizations from, but we were using them in lieu of CDBG funds. And frankly, it probably only lasts a couple of years because I doubt we'll see CDBG funds 2 or 3 years from now anyway. But that was my idea, so I'll let Steve off the hook there.
Is there an added advantage that it cuts down on the administrative costs to administer the funds?
There's zero admin costs.
Well, with that background, I understand more of what the intent was. But if you look at that third bullet in its literal interpretation, that's not what it says.
No, I understand. Yeah, I understand.
And I guess if we were to, you know, put forth an alternative that essentially filled in the blanks, it would read better. But, you know, just looking at that on the surface, we don't have permission to do that.
I totally understand, and it wouldn't be easy to explain. Yeah,
it would still, the disadvantage is it would still have to show up on that local sales tax report. There could be an explanation, but it would show up on that. And then the other issue is we really didn't receive much requests this year, so it's kind of a less of an issue this year. In the past, it's been an issue because we got a number of groups, but we couldn't divide the money up to, you know, meet those requests because of this requirement that all the grants had to be more.
Okay, questions? Any additional questions, clarifications?
Well, I have just one question. So if we went with what Jim was proposing, we saved the $86.57, correct? The administration costs?
We would save a portion of that. There are still administrative costs that would have to be paid, but it would definitely be less.
I think what he's referring to is you'd save the administration costs just on those particular grants because they wouldn't have to go through the county. But there would still be staff work. There'd be administrative costs on our side just as far as staff work devoted to it. Mm-hmm. But, it'd be a much simpler process, so it'd be much, much less paperwork involved in the process.
Okay. And I'm sorry, any other questions? Go ahead.
Actually, so just so, for instance, the part of what gave me this idea was when we gave the $1,000 for the skate park. Were there admin costs associated with giving the $1,000 to Grover Beach for the skate park? So there really wouldn't be admin costs here either. Yeah. Okay. The other question I had to do, do we have any idea how many, when we start talking about every street and every corner, do we have a sense of how many ADA ramps we're going to have to do? This sounds like an incredible requirement now over the next 5 years, since we're going to touch every street in the next 5 years.
I don't believe that we have that number yet. That's something we're working on right now in an inventory. I don't know if Jeff's still around, but yeah, we have a whole committee developing an ADA updated ADA compliance plan, and that's one of the things they're doing is surveying all these.
I'm guessing this could be in the hundreds.
Well, there's a huge amount of areas that would need it. Now, the ramps only need to be where we have sidewalks, so it's not like every street has to have ADA ramps, so it's sidewalk areas. But I think our concern is there's certain types that are heavily used that are high-priority ones, and those are the ones we're trying to make some progress on significantly over the next few years, the highly traveled ones. Did you hear the question, Jeff? Do we have any data yet? I know you're working on that.
Can you come up to the microphone so we get you, Jeff? You can thank him later.
Mayor Farrar, members of the council, Jeff English, Public Works Director. We have just recently completed an inventory of every corner in town come into play. And it only applies to locations where there's existing sidewalk. In those places where there isn't an existing sidewalk, you don't have to put in ramps. And so, again, I don't have the exact numbers, but every year, every time we do this over the course of the next 7 years, we're going to have to get all of our roads compliant within that 7 years. If we do, and the rule applies to microsurfacing, which is a type of treatment we do often, and or an overlay. The law is very specific. The Department of Justice and the FHWA got together and came up with some interpretation and basically said that microsurfacing, which is the treatment we do most often, does require the ramps that be upgraded or installed.
And if I remember this from a long time ago, the cost of one of these is about, if I remember, it was about $5,000 a corner.
It's roughly $5,000. It really depends on how intricate. Sometimes we have conflicting utility poles or other things. It's roughly $5,000 a ramp.
Okay, thank you. Those are my questions.
I have one more question. What's the level of activity in terms of the request for facade improvements right now?
It's been slow. There's two particular properties we're actually proactively working on because they have non-conformance pole signs on Grand Avenue, which is something we've been trying as a goal to get rid of. And so we're working proactively with them. We have enough existing money now in current funds to handle both those projects. So beyond that, it's much less of a priority once we could get those targeted signs in compliance. So that's why we were recommending just bringing it down to 5,000 in the future program. That would give us an ability, if one really good project comes forward that we feel is good, we'll have the ability to do one. But we don't think we need the full 15 in the future because it's a lower priority.
Well, what would be our impact? And I'm not certain how much money we have in the facade program, but what would be the impact if we took all of the facade improvement money and moved it to the ADA effort?
You mean existing money or all this proposed
just
money?
Just the $15,000.
Well, I mean, that would be an additional $5,000. So between just the money for barrier removals and facade, that would bring it to $40,000. And then if you added the public services, it would be $48,000. And add the local sales tax of $10,000 would be $58,000. So it increases by $5,000. The total would be $53,000 to $58,000.
What I meant was, what kind of shape would it leave us in terms of being able to respond to, you know, what would your projection be for the volume of requests that we would get for additional facade improvements? Is there enough in the existing fund to carry us through to, you know, next year?
Well, hopefully, if we're successful, there wouldn't be, because, like I said, we have two high-priority projects. We may be coming to you with an increase in the rules as far as the amount we can use, because these project costs are a little more because they involve taking down these large pole signs. So if we're successful in those efforts, you know, we'd hopefully have no money going forward then. But if we could accomplish those key goals, that would be a big accomplishment for us, and I think the future projects would be a lower priority compared to these things. So we recommended leaving a little in there just so we could still do something, but we would all agree that at this point the ADA improvements are a higher priority than the facade improvements.
Okay. Any other questions?
Go ahead. Is the facade grant, is that still a matching grant? Didn't that used to be?
No, there was. We try to get matching funds towards it, but that's no longer a requirement. We had taken that requirement out a few years ago.
Okay, thanks. That's it.
Just because we've had this problem in the past, is there, when you say we have money left over, if you'll remember, this was a problem in the past where we didn't spend the money in, I believe it's 3 years, then it puts the whole HUD program at risk. We're nowhere near that three-year mark, I hope.
No. Okay. This is current year money we're working on.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, this is a public hearing. If there are members of the audience who would like to come forward on 9A, this would be your opportunity. Anyone?
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Ray Fleming, and I do live in the city of Arroyo Grande, and the streets in my neighborhood have just been ramped, and so I really appreciate that. But I'm also the director of the Health and Prevention Program, and one of the programs that I oversee is the adult wellness. And I was, is it food? Is it rent? Is it their health? Is it their prescriptions? So I hope you will consider, at least for this year, being you did put this out and asked us to apply, or not us individually, but asked people from the community to apply, to move forward and fund public service project for this year and possibly look towards next year and not putting that out and moving that money into ADA.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else?
I wanted to ask her a couple questions.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Could you come back, please? Thank you.
If I could just use an example you gave of your client who's coming in and has a sugar. What are you actually going to, you're going to screen that person, you're going to see that their sugar is high. What are you actually going to do for that person to resolve their problem that they're choosing between food and medicine for their husband and themselves?
We're going to refer them to either there is low-cost places where you can get prescriptions filled that people aren't aware of, be Target and Walmart, and then there's also, I can't remember the actual name, you funded them in the past, which is,
pharmaceutical something.
Pharmaceutical that they have, they work out of a Royal Hospital, French Hospital in Santa Maria, and they can access no-cost medication for those people.
And my second question has to do with the changes with the Affordable Care Act that, of course, are going to change healthcare significantly. How does that change your operation? I mean, you're doing screening and you're doing outreach. Is that stuff that under the Affordable Care Act would be available to people?
You know, preventative services will be available. The problem is that we have a physician shortage. I'm sure you're all aware in this county, and that's because our Medicare reimbursement rates and our Medi-Cal reimbursement rates are really low. And so, therefore, number one, physicians aren't coming to this area, high cost to live here. Physicians are leaving. Physicians are not taking patients that have Medicare or Medi-Cal. So, therefore, it means that our community health centers then have to take on those people. They can't even handle the impact that they already have. So there's long waits for people to get in.
And we can also, another thing, we can also take whatever time is needed to assist that individual with information on diet and exercise and bereavement and a variety of other things. You know, we always hear, almost every time we have a clinic here, you've taken more time and answered more questions than if I could get into a physician that they'd be able to do. So I wish that I could say that we'd see a big difference in this population, but I don't think so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, once again, anyone else? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing portion of 9A. We'll bring it back to the to the council, and we'll start with Council Member Barnage.
Ah, okay.
Or I can start at the other end.
No, it's okay. I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, as far as the, we'll start with the facade enhancement grant. I'm okay with taking it down from 15,000 to 5. I don't want to leave nothing in there in case there's someone that comes in that has a real need. So I would be in favor of that. I really like Jim's idea about switching the funds around, as long as that's all on the up and up and that's all okay and we can make notes of it. I mean, if it saves us $7,000 or $8,000 that we could use toward something else, that's, it seems like a lot of money for administration. I know it costs a lot to do something like that. So that's my thought on that. Public facilities, the $25,000 for the ADA sounds good. And I'm fine with the public services for the adult wellness. So for right now, that's where I stand. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Brown.
Well, I always enjoy these block grant issues. It's so nice to be able to tell somebody yes, and then all of a sudden we have to sadly tell somebody no. It puts me in a really uncomfortable position, but here we are again. I like Councilman Guthrie's idea. I understand the mayor's issue regarding prior surveys. I think that's absolutely correct, but if we can do it in a way that's less bureaucratic and cost less money, we're doing the city a favor, and I think we're upholding the spirit of trying to give those block grant monies to people that that need them.
And moving it to ADA, and I think we actually had this similar discussion last year. In sort of the big picture, the $8,000 here is a small part of the sales tax monies that are available. I think it's close to $2 million budget that we're talking about. Granted, most of it's committed to things, but finding $8,000 or $10,000 extra dollars to do ADA is going to be a whole lot easier for us to accomplish than it is going to be for these organizations to go out and replace the $8,000 that we've given them in the past, whichever organization it is. So I'm sure you know I'm all for moving the facade grant. I've always felt that there's something not quite right about the facade grant, so I wouldn't be mind moving at all, but if whatever the council's direction there is. I do think I did suggest this idea really very last minute, I think maybe 3 weeks ago. I would like to see staff come back and sort of flesh this idea out, because I do think there's some advantage to the city in that there's certain admin costs that certainly we would save. I'm not sure it's the whole $8,000, but certainly some significant part of that, although I don't know if we're spending it all on capital. I think built into the capital budgets are usually the admin as well. So I'd be in favor of at least looking at that idea and seeing how we can make that function. I just point out it's an advantage to the city, but it's a huge advantage to the applicants. And the one of the things that it would do is it would open up, probably not this year, but it might in the future open up the opportunity. We've gone to a single grant because the county's essentially directed us to, because it's so hard to justify the administration of a small grant. But we could do small grants like we used to, and just we're essentially writing a check, that would be the end of the. It's a huge advantage to the recipient as well. That's all I'm pointing out. So I'd like to see that idea come back. It needs to be fleshed out a little bit more than I think it is. I think the mayor's point here is that bullet doesn't explain it, but I also understand that it really was last minute that I requested this of staff. I'm kind of 50-50. I certainly supportive of health screening. I do think actually the Affordable Care Act is going to change this more. I'm disappointed that senior nutrition isn't here to promote their program as well. It isn't one that we have funded in the past, but I point out this is essentially the Meals on Wheels program for our community. Significant, you know, piece of the senior community needs this, and this is that consistent food meal that in fact many seniors wouldn't put together on their own at all. So, you know, I hate to choose between the two programs, but I would have liked to have seen a little more consideration for the possibility that senior nutrition, given the direction that I believe healthcare is going to go, that the senior nutrition might very well have been an equal or better choice here. But if the council's feeling is this is something we've worked with Capsule here in the past, this clinic is in our city, whether it directly serves our citizens or all the citizens in the five counties is beside the point, but it's certainly something we've done in the past. So I could support that if that's the direction, but I do think senior nutrition probably should get a little bit more of a consideration than we probably gave them. So that's my input here.
Thanks, Mayor Pro Tem.
Well, I'm not going to add a whole lot to this because people pretty much said what I want to say anyway, but I would leave $5,000 in the facade program, move the 10. I think that getting the ADA improvements done is a high priority for the city, and I think that doing that with this money is consistent with the intent of the grant funding anyway. I would like to find a way to fund provide some sort of funding for the projects. If we take the money from this and put it into the ADA, if there's a way to find access to dollars, whether it's from the sales tax revenues or some other source, if we could do that, I think it's well worth the trade, and I think that's a reasonable thing to do. I'm not sure how much do we have to come up with a final decision tonight on this, or do we have time to get input back from staff?
I think we're trying to give general direction this evening. It has to come back again for final approval, but the purpose this evening is...
Well, if I were making final approval tonight, I would support the movement of the funds to support the ADA, the reduction of the facade improvements, and eliminate the funding for the public service requests, and go forward with that. Hopefully, you can come back and show us a way we can provide some funding to offset this.
Okay. Let me ask for some clarification.
Listening to the rest of council, the other half of that would be that we would still be moving the $10,000 to the...
Can I make one clarification to that, though? Is remember you've moved the ADA ramp from local sales tax into the block grant funds now. So now that's where there'll be administrative costs associated with processing that project.
So you'll have admin costs with even though it's a capital project, you'll still have. But are they equal to the admin costs of? My understanding is the admin costs for the capital projects are relatively simple.
Well, I don't know. They're kind of different.
Certainly
types
not 8 grand.
Types,
yeah.
Of issues. You wouldn't have all the administrative cost of processing a grant to an agency, but by bringing the ADA ramp project into CDBG, there's a huge amount of new environmental requirements and processes and things that we have to go through for that project. Now, that's mostly internal, but it does increase our internal costs quite a bit for processing.
I guess I'd like to see those numbers fleshed out. I mean, if we move the facade grant, does it have the same impact, or is it more expensive to do administration for a facade grant? Actually, I would think it would be to do a facade grant than it is to do an ADA program. I mean,
I think you're right. We'd have to cost those out. I think in just in terms of increased workload, the ADA project's going to require the most because it has all the environmental review requirements that now the feds requirements has kicked in, and it becomes pretty cumbersome on us.
Okay, so if we were just to follow your logic all the way out, if we were in fact to eliminate the CAPSLO money and move it all to ADA, in fact, administrative costs would go up. All of that money, if in fact the ADA ramps are more expensive to administer, then when you move all of this money to it, then ADA, then you wouldn't get that whole $45,000. Just some part of it would be lost in admin as we've increased ADA requirements.
And that's why I don't think I gave an exact, I didn't really cite an exact number from admin costs that could be folded into that. The costs I gave you excluded that, but we thought we might be able to get some in there. It really comes down to, and we don't know how much we'll be able to do this, the more you can package those ADA ramps into one project, that brings down the costs. Some of the recent feedback we've been getting from the feds is they have to be by location, so they might have to be broken up into a number of different projects. But so it's really hard to determine those costs until we know how many different projects those are going to constitute.
So if we move, but I think the basic point is it remains the same, that the more we move into ADA, into the ADA construction, whether it's from CAPSLO or from or from the facade grants, the fact that we can combine them is going to reduce the admin costs, as opposed to doing them in three different categories. So the admin costs are going to come down some. I'm not saying they're zero. Okay. So I'm just saying it doesn't make any difference whether we 86 at all or whether we move it over to the sales tax funds. It doesn't make any difference as far as your admin costs go. If anything, your admin costs go down because you're able to combine them into a single project. Into a single category.
Let me make a suggestion here.
Sometimes they have to be separate.
I think the fact that what we're talking about is having this come back for final review. I'm glad I asked the question because sitting here listening to the dialogue tells me that more work needs to be done, and I think maybe if Councilmember Guthrie is willing to perhaps sit down with staff and flesh this out a little bit more, then perhaps it'll be more clear when it comes back. So let me define my position in terms of boundaries, if you will. And I'll start at the top with public services. I recall back when this grant was considerably more substantial than what it is now, and we had a room full of public service agencies and organizations that were coming forth for money, and we were able to do a good job of equitably distributing that money. And now you see what it's dwindled down to, and we made a determination that if we were going to affect any type of positive change or continuation of operation for any of those organizations, that the amount was so small that we would lump sum it and that we would alternate on an annual basis to make sure that we were as fair as we could be with such a small amount. And so I guess my position here is to this entire conversation has to be promoting and moving ahead as much as we can with ensuring that we're ADA compliant. So I agree with that priority. And I also agree with the fact that we could probably get away with sliding a good portion of the money. I would support what the other council members have indicated with regard to the facade improvement grant. I don't have a problem with that. The last boundary, I guess, for me is coming back to the literal interpretation of that third bullet, and Councilmember Guthrie indicated it, and I'm hoping that between now and when this comes back, we'll figure out a way so that we make sure that we stay within the boundaries that the voters set for us. And staff has been very, very vigilant, and the council has been very responsible with ensuring that we spend that sales tax money in a manner consistent with the primary ballot measure and the advisory ballot measures. And we've been very good about that. So I would not want to see anything in a report, unless it was completely thoroughly explained, that takes us beyond those boundaries. So that said, if there's a way of doing it, and we can show through the I won't use the term manipulation, but we can show through the transfer of funds that this helps promote our priority of ADA compliance, then I'll be supportive of that. But I want to make sure that we don't have any literal statements that exceed what I consider to be the implied authority that was given to us by the voters when they approved this tax measure. So I'll be anxious to see what comes back, and we'll take another look at it at that time.
Do you want to put it in some sort of form of a motion, or?
I think we got the direction. I'm not sure it's delineated enough to make it into a motion.
Well, let me come back to Steve or to Tim. Can we get away with staff direction if we're not adopting the?
All we need in a preliminary phase is the direction you gave us. We'll bring back the appropriate information.
Okay, good. That's where we're at. Anything else? Okay, that takes us to item 10, new business. We have none this evening. Item 10 is continued business. We have none. Item 11 is new business. And item 11A is consideration of the selection of Councilmember Guthrie as Mayor Pro Tem for 2014.
Okay, I'll just give a little bit of background on this. This is a policy that the council established several years ago, which is a rotational system for the appointment each year of the mayor pro tem. It's based on the concept of seniority, that each member moves up to that position based on seniority until all the other members have served in that position, and then any new member would become the mayor pro tem. So that was kind of the situation this time. Kristen Barnage would be Councilmember Barnage would be the next in line to be the mayor pro tem. Since she is new, she expressed a desire to wait 1 year so she could become familiar with the meeting procedures. And so next up after Councilmember Barnage is Councilmember Guthrie. So we've recommended that Councilmember Guthrie be appointed as the mayor pro tem for the next year. Meanwhile, Councilmember Barnage's comments kind of got us thinking about the process itself. And the way it's worked, kind of once all the members got through and served as mayor pro tem, it kind of creates a situation where that's going to come up almost every time. And every time there's election and there's new members, the remaining, it's likely that the remaining council members on the council will have already served as a mayor pro tem, so you're always going to have somebody new coming in. And so we suggested in your staff report to possibly direct staff to come back with an amendment to the process that would just exclude new members from eligibility for 1 year. And that would just assure that any new council member would have 1 year.
Okay. All right. This is not a public hearing, but if there's anyone in the audience who would like to come forward and speak to this agenda item, this would be an opportunity. Anyone? Okay. Seeing no one, we will bring it back to the council. And we'll start with Councilmember Guthrie. Are you ready, willing, and I know you're able?
Yeah, I'm certainly willing to take the position if that's the council's direction.
All right. Councilmember Brown?
I think it's a great idea.
All right. And Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes, I'm in agreement. I think that's a good change. I'm willing to do it definitely in a year, but just want to sort of get some more experience up here.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem?
I'll just jump right ahead to move to reappoint Councilmember Guthrie as the Mayor Pro Tem.
Second.
Sorry. Direct staff there an amendment to policy.
Sorry.
Okay. Including the amendment to the protocol?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay. Motion and a second. Further discussion? Hearing none. Roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Okay, moving on to item 12, council communications. Any correspondence, comments, feedback from anyone? Announcements?
I just want to say thanks again, Mayor, for doing the float work, because you were left stranded a couple times doing that, and I appreciate it, because I knew it took time and effort.
Oh, well, you're very welcome, and thanks for noting that. It was a very successful parade at both here. Our Christmas parade was just another tremendous event, and I know our thanks to the community for turning out, and certainly for the folks who worked organizing the event. And then the Grover Parade last Saturday was also a very nice event. So it's a nice time of year to celebrate. Okay, staff communication, anything, Steve?
I just thought it might be helpful to forewarn the council. We have, we're going to be starting the year off strong, a lot of things going on. And with the council, or with the cancellation of the second meeting in December, it means we currently, it looks like we have two very full agendas in the two meetings in January. So we're doing our best to try to shift things around to make them as painless as possible. But I think we're going to have a full January, so I just wanted to kind of forewarn you that that's coming up.
Okay. So hopefully no one has travel plans or other commitments for the two meetings in January, and we can make sure we have five warm bodies here ready to go to work. All right, that takes us to item 14, and this is our final community comments and suggestions. Anyone who would like to come forward on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not? All right, no takers again. And that takes us to our next item, which is closed session, and we have none this evening. And so I would like to wish all of our citizens and members of the community and our businesses a very happy holiday season, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And to the members of the council, thank you so much for all of your hard work this year, and staff as well, and we'll look forward to reconvening after the first of the year. So we are adjourned.